Good morning. It's so good to be with you. I was here about 3 months ago, and you welcomed me back. So I hope that means things are okay from last time, that I didn't mess things up too much. But it is so good to be with you again. I just want to say this service has been, I've had to wipe some tears away today. It's been a beautiful service. Thank you, everybody, for being here, for being who you are. If you're still getting to know the Holy Spirit like I am, I think the Holy Spirit is here meeting with us, and I invite you to just remain open to that Spirit. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we love you and we thank you for the way that you minister to each of us. You know us all, and you are finding us. You're finding us with your grace and goodness and abundance, and we ask now that you would speak to each one of us. Open up these scriptures, open up our hearts, and proclaim your good news for the transformation of our lives and of the world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Three ingredients of neighboring, there's only three of them. They're very simple. The first one is joy. And here's the good news from that joy ingredient. You do not need to be anybody else. You don't need to neighbor like I neighbor. You don't need to neighbor like Mr. Rogers. You don't need to neighbor like anyone else. You, God made you the way you are with the interests you have, the personality you have, the social gifts or not that you have, right? God made you that way. And you get to be who you are in relationship with people. And that looks different for everybody. That's where joy comes from, by the way, is when we can actually be ourselves and it has purpose and contribution to the community we're a part of, right? So that's joy. The second ingredient is relationship. And relationship's so important because whenever church talks about a new initiative or program, church people and people who aren't in the church kind of wonder what the agenda is, right? The second ingredient of good neighboring is just to care about people. And can we agree that we're just in a time in our world right now when we need to, like, care about each other? We need to actually see each other. We need to have a relationship and not just point fingers and have labels, right? And so relationship, it's just knowing one another, caring for one another, connecting to one another. That's the agenda. That's actually what it's about because we believe God is a God of relationship and that this matters to God. And so today, we get to the third and final ingredient of neighboring, and that is abundance. Abundance. And I am so excited to talk about abundance. But before we talk about abundance, we have to talk about its counterpart that we are all very familiar with, and that is scarcity. We live in a world that sees everything through the lens of scarcity. Scarcity works and controls us just with the thought that we might not have enough, right? And this is how our whole world works. Unfortunately, this is how the church even has begun to work. We worry constantly about running out, and the thought we might not have enough begins to dictate our behavior. And it changes how we relate to people because scarcity, we are worried there's not going to be enough. Friends, scarcity is very related to sin and faithlessness because we believe in a God who has said, I am your provider, I love you, you are my child, and I will take care of you. Jesus said, right, God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. How much more so won't he take care of you? This is like what we believe as Christians, and yet scarcity has seeped in. And it is a big problem in our world today. And so it's pit us against God. It's made us overly reliant on ourselves, and it's pit us against one another. Now, our neighbors are not potential partners when it's scarcity. They're potential threats. Would you imagine with me that right now the living God wants to teach us? That right now, in this community, in our lives, in this world, Jesus is like chomping at the bit to say, I want to show you that things are not as scarce as you think they are. And so here are a few things that we are invited to do to shift from scarcity to abundance. Number one, let's start with what we have, not with what we don't have. Amen? I look around this room right now. I don't know most of you. There are so many gifts, and I'm not talking money, don't worry. There are so many gifts sitting in this room. There are people in here who can make food that the rest of us would just cry because it's so good, right? Right? There are people in this room who can build things that are amazing. You know who you are. There are people in this room who can sing. Amen. We've heard some of them today, right? There are people in this room who can draw and paint. And there are people in this room who actually like doing accounting. You know? There are amazing gifts in this room. And the thing is, even just in this room, we maybe have not actually asked. Because so often what we do is we only think about money, like Philip, bless his heart, right? We go, well, what about the money? Or we think, what we need is X. Can anybody fit that square peg into this round hole, right? So we recruit, right? And instead, what if we just started with, what do we have? What do we have? There is so much here in this room. So number one, let's start with what we have, not with what we don't have. Number two, let's expand our concept of we. So often our concept of we is so limited. And right now in our world, our little boxes of who's us and who's them are getting like smaller and smaller, right? And so there's fewer people to do anything when we're against everybody else. And so what we have to do is start to expand our concept of we. Because God has given abundant giftedness to people here and there. And there's no longer this us and them. There's no longer our budget helping those people. It suddenly becomes, wait a minute, we might have enough. So that's the first thing is we've got to look at what we have, not what we don't have. The second thing is we've got to expand our concept of we. And then this is where we come in, church. We bring it to Jesus. Because most of us in this room, and I hope all of us at some point, have brought something so tender and small and what we thought was not enough to God. Whether it's a broken heart, whether it's this month's rent, whether it's a health concern or a loss of someone we love, we've brought something to God. And God, in Jesus Christ, has taken that thing, that tender, fragile thing, and cared for it, and often turned it into something life-giving and amazing and good. We're the people who know that. Amen? We're the people who practice that. And so we get, on behalf of our neighbors and on behalf of one another, we take our little five loaves and two fish and we bring it to the God who can do something more, who breaks it and gives thanks, and something happens. We get to be a part of that. And the final thing that we do, and I love this, after we bring it to Jesus, is we help distribute what God has provided to the people.